Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, April 20th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In certainly one of the most important passages for the royal family of God to understand your M.O. What is to be your M.O.? Well, God's given us something very special, a unique spiritual life, the same spiritual life that he gave to his son Jesus Christ in his true humanity. It's been given to us because we need it in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And the ultimate objective of that, living that unique spiritual life, is having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. There's no, probably one of the greatest tests in the Word of God about do you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart is the incestuous Corinthian. We studied him first of all in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And he was on the verge of the sin unto death. Now we have him in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and he's recovered and would like to get some face-to-face teaching. But now, what are the how will the royal family of God treat this individual? Well, you can learn a lot from that as well. So this is a very important passage. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege that we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Every day we get one day closer to the end of the church age, the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. And as soon as the rapture takes place, the restraining ministry of the Spirit is removed. And now Satan hits high gear. And for the next 7 years, it will be hell on earth. And he's already getting everything in place for that. And one of those things he's got just, it's here, it's ready to go, is a one world government is right at our door. This is Hal Lindsey on March 29th and 30th of 2022. Global elites gathered for the World Government Summit. World Government Summit in Dubai. They talked about working with individual governments in a variety of areas, but make no mistake, their goal is in their name. They want world government. The Bible speaks of the Antichrist and the false prophet taking control of the planet by seizing the financial system. This year's World Government Summit expressed the very same idea. American economist, this is an American economist, Dr. Pippa Malmgren, said, quote, "What underpins a world order is always the financial system." And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, this is Dr. Malmgren, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having an almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy. Every transaction made by every single person on planet Earth. The context proves that she's talking about a world order. Therefore, she must be referring to every single transaction in the world economy. Quoting her again, what underpins the world order, she said, is always the financial system. She says boldly that we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. If you want to remake a civilization, remake its financial system. And that's what they are trying to do. Not for a single civilization, but for the whole world. It will ultimately lead to the mark of the beast and the totalitarian world system necessary to enforce it. She says that the new money will be based on the blockchain technology that now underpins digital currencies such as Bitcoin. She then makes an important distinction between present digital currencies and future ones. This new money, she says, will be sovereign in nature. She's still speaking, this is still quoting her. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private. But I see our superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. According to the Atlantic Council, at least 91 countries are already developing digital currencies. At first, this new kind of money will augment cash. But globalists admit that their real goal is to supplant cash entirely. See, all of you are probably all credit card mongers. You got 15, 20, 30 credit cards. You go in any store, you pull out a debit card, this card, that. I don't have any of those damn things. I cut them all up. I use that stinking, dirty, filthy cash. I'm one of the... Well, I know where all that other's leading. See, if I use cash, nobody knows what the hell I'm doing with my money. You use credit cards, they know everything you're doing with your money. You have no privacy. Don't you like privacy? then you ought to love cash. Debbie, I give her at least $5. As long as she doesn't spend it all in one place. But globalists admit that their real goal is to supplant cash entirely. Digital currencies will not stop terrorists, tax cheats, or other criminals until such currencies completely replace cash and fully interconnect. Unlike Bitcoin, government versions of digital currencies will not be private and their users will not be anonymous. Like all digital data, the new currencies will be made of zeros and ones and interpreted by machines. For that reason, digital euros, digital dollars, and the others can easily be made to work together as a single currency. With that, world elites will have achieved the goal Dr. Malmgren states so well. They will have an almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy. And when they implement their system globally, they will have a record of every single transaction that happens in the economy of the entire planet. We find this high-tech scenario in a document written over 1900 years ago, the Bible. Revelation 13, verse 17, describes it like this. No one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. A person will not be allowed to buy or sell unless he can access the global grid of digital money. And when the Antichrist reigns, only those who carry his mark will have that access. Now, it's already here. We're still in the church age. Are we close to the rapture? Well, I think we could be very close to the rapture. Everything is in place for the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the 7-year tribulation period. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verses 5 through all the way down to verse 10, we are dealing with the incestuous Corinthian. And he's a great one to bring up because everybody, I don't know anybody that is not totally turned your stomach about the immoral degeneracy of incest. He got into the cosmic system, got involved in incest. He came under warning discipline, intensive discipline. The Apostle Paul turned him over to Satan for the administration of the sin unto death. Nobody can administer pain and suffering like Satan can. This was one of the most miserable believers ever walking the face of the earth, and he was that close to dying the sin unto death. And he came to his senses. He came to his senses, rebounded, acknowledged his sin to God. God forgave him. The believers in Corinth haven't, but God has. He stopped. Incest was over for him. Got into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, the spiritual life, and Now he's living the spiritual life, walking in the light, and he would love to have face-to-face Bible teaching, but the believers in Corinth haven't forgiven him. They won't let him back. So the Apostle Paul writes the 2 Corinthians. And one of the reasons why he wrote 2 Corinthians, he didn't want to be there. He wanted to write this while he wasn't there to see if they will respond to Bible doctrine and apply the truth of the Word of God and pass this test, the incestuous Corinthian test. 2 Corinthians 2, we have exegeted verses 5 through 8, sounds like this. But if a certain man, that is the incestuous Corinthian, has caused pain and grief, first class condition, and he has, he has not caused me pain and grief, but to some degree he has caused all of you pain and grief. And I say it this way in order not to be too severe or overly critical. This punishment is severe enough for such a person, which punishment was inflicted by the majority. The congregation got together and they unanimously voted to remove him from the assembly. Now, verse 7. But now, instead, you ought to treat him with, and there are three mental attitudes here, and they're all a part of impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all. They're all a part of virtue love. Now, we have a role model for virtue love. Our role model is God, because God is love. And the attribute of God's love is made up of virtue love. God's love is made up of impersonal love, which is unconditional. Unconditional love for all. And God's love is made up of personal love. Divine personal love is conditional. Conditional for a few. So God is love. God is virtue love. His virtue love includes impersonal love for all and divine personal love, which is conditional for a few. All right, let's take a look at it. Let's take phase one. Phase one, salvation. God is impersonal love. John 3:16, God loved the world so much. The world is all mankind, every member of the human race. In spiritual death, total depravity, no damn good, ungodly, sinners, enemies of God, and he loved them. God loved the world so much with impersonal love for the whole world that he sent his son, designed Operation Grace, sent him from heaven to earth, took on true humanity, went to a cross, and then God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world. You think of the worst sinner, the worst stinker, the worst person who has ever lived, those sins were gathered up, poured out on Christ, and judged in Jesus Christ once and for all. Sins of the whole world. Impersonal love for all the whole world. This is also in Romans 5. We'll get there in Romans 5 on Sunday eventually. Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, the whole world as sinners, Christ died for us. Impersonal love for all. God demonstrates his virtue love. Impersonal love for all. And the, while the whole world was sinners, Christ died for us. Phase one, personal love is conditional, given to a few. To those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. To those few who place their faith in Jesus Christ, they receive eternal salvation. To the few. He doesn't give eternal salvation to every member of the human race. Only it's conditional. What's the condition? You must believe in Jesus Christ. So his impersonal love is for the whole world. Impersonal love for all. His personal love has a condition. You must believe in Jesus Christ to have eternal salvation. Virtue love. That's virtue love phase one. All right. Let's go to phase two. Phase two. Impersonal love is directed to all believers. This is those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. How is his impersonal love given to all believers? Well, there is the 40 salvation blessings that come down the grace pipeline from justice to imputed righteousness, and logistical grace blessing, which comes down from justice to imputed righteousness. This goes to all believers. All believers. And the logistical grace doesn't make a difference whether you're good, bad, or ugly. Whatever, you get logistical grace. It is to all, impersonal love for all believers, the 40 salvation blessing logistical grace. Personal love is conditional. It's for the few who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, have virtue love brought to completion in their heart, and then God gives to those few greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in six categories in time. Greater grace blessing for time. Spiritual blessing, temporal blessing, blessing by association, historical impact, suffering for blessing, dying grace blessing. It comes to the few who advance to spiritual maturity. All believers get logistical grace, provision, and blessing, but the few receive personal love, because personal love is conditional. The condition is that you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to maturity. Now let's go to phase three. Phase three. God's impersonal love is directed to all believers in providing a resurrection body. Every single believer gets a resurrection body. Whether you're a winner or a loser or what you are, you will, all believers, receive a resurrection body. Impersonal love for all. Personal love is conditional. It's given to the few who have lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advanced to spiritual maturity, seize and hold the high ground, until physical death or the rapture. And then at the judgment seat of Christ, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, pours out on the few winner believers crowns and rewards and greater grace blessing for all eternity, which honor and glorify God forever and ever and ever. So all through the plan of God, phase one, salvation, he provided his son, Christ, and took the sins of the whole world and had them judged so that everyone in the world is savable. Personal love only given. What's the condition for personal love, phase one? You must believe in Jesus Christ. Phase two, impersonal love for all. 40 salvation blessing, logistical grace blessing and support to all believers. Personal love for the few. Condition to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And you receive greater grace blessings for time. Phase three, impersonal love to all believers. Every believer receives a resurrection body. Winners, losers, no matter what. Personal love is conditional. To the few who seize and hold the high ground of spiritual maturity at the judgment seat of Christ, crowns and rewards. God's love is virtue love, made of impersonal love for all, which is unconditional, and personal love for a few, which is always conditional. Now that's important to understand. And this is divine, divine virtue love. All right? So we have a role model to illustrate and explain virtue love. So Paul is encouraging the believers in Corinth to love this incestuous Corinthian with virtue love. In verses 7 and 8, Paul is emphasizing three very important principles of virtue love, and that is to treat him with grace and forgive him. This is taught in greater detail in Colossians 3, 13 and 14, Ephesians 4, 32. To comfort him by stopping all of your mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, Ephesians 4:31. Stop your hate and judging and maligning and slandering. Stop your ostracism. And then third, love him with impersonal love. Impersonal love is an unconditional love for all. Virtue love is made up of three problem-solving devices. Personal love for God the Father, which is a motivational virtue. And it's very important for you to realize, if you don't have personal love for God the Father, you will never have impersonal love for all. First comes personal love for God the Father. That's the motivational virtue. That motivates impersonal love for all mankind, which is the functional virtue. And then personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, which is occupation with Christ, the priority solution to life. Impersonal love is that problem-solving device defined as unconditional love toward all mankind. Being impersonal, this category of love emphasizes the virtue of the subject rather than the attraction to or rapport with the object of love. Impersonal love for all mankind is the ultimate expression of virtue and honor, objectivity, and spiritual growth of the believer. Human personal love is optional. Nowhere in the Bible you're commanded to have a romance or friendship or get married. That's optional whether you have it or not. So human personal love is optional toward people, while impersonal love is a command. It's mandated by God. John 15, 12 and 17. 1 John 3, 23. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. Impersonal love for all is the only way you will give the rest of the human race a fair shake. Impersonal love is the virtue and honor of not involving one's personal feelings or emotions toward the object, and therefore not reacting in any kind of personality conflict. Impersonal love is the sum total of the believer's honor, integrity, and objectivity. Every time you hate, judge, malign, run down, criticize some fellow believer, and then you turn around and say you love God, well, you don't love God. You're nothing but a damn liar. And you have no spiritual life. You're living in the cosmic system. You have no virtue love. You have no honor. You have no integrity. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. Impersonal love is a problem-solving device in all human relationships. Impersonal love cannot be produced by a loser believer living in the cosmic system. Impersonal love depends on personal love for God as its motivation. You can never sort out your relationship with people until you sort out your relationships with God first. We are here, we are to love others with impersonal love as Jesus Christ loved us with impersonal love, John 13, 34 and 35, John 15, 12. God's impersonal love for all mankind motivated Operation Grace, the cross, God's plan for eternal salvation. That was it directed from impersonal love for the whole world, who was no damn good, and that included you. Then I say that. Some of you come in here and try to straighten your halos. It doesn't going to work. We were all came into the world spiritually dead, totally depraved, no damn good. All of us were ungodly sinners and the enemies of God. And yet knowing that about you, and God knew all that about you before you were ever here, He designed Operation Grace, the cross. Impersonal love for all. Unconditional. And then gathered up the sins of the whole world. I don't care who you want. You can pick Lenin or Stalin. They were scumbags and sinners. All of their sins were gathered up and poured out on Christ and judged. Today, you can pick 99%. The whole world is spiritually dead and totally depraved. God's impersonal love for all mankind motivated Operation Grace, the cross, God's plan for eternal salvation. God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind gathered up the sins of the whole world, imputed them to Jesus Christ on the cross, and judged them once and for all, making salvation available to anyone, any place, anywhere. John 3:16, Romans 5:8. So impersonal love is a very important concept which you should value to the highest degree. For without impersonal love, you will never have any good human relationships. I don't care if it's romance or friendship or marriage. The key to all of it, see, those are all optional. That's human personal love. You're nowhere commanded to have those. But if you have them, human personal love is very weak. It is also conditional. The person with human personal love, let's take marriage. There's a good one, marriage. You're nowhere commanded to get married. It's an option. But if all you have when you get married, if all you have is personal love, your personal love is conditional. In other words, here is human personal love. I love you if there's always an if in human personal love. I love you, dear, if you stay handsome or beautiful. Now, here's a very important thing. We studied this last night. Our tent is wearing out. And as it wears out, you're not attractive and beautiful and handsome. If you guys don't want to be attractive and beautiful. So it starts wearing out and you start looking like a frog. Guys especially start looking like frogs. They have no hind end, they can't keep their pants up, take their belt off, and they fall down on the ground. I will love you as long as you're handsome, dear, if you're handsome. But when you start looking like a prune, I don't love you anymore. I love you, dear, if you stay attractive. Well, everything we change. This tent is here for a short time and is deteriorating. The outside is looking worse and worse and worse, but you have the opportunity to have the inside looking better and better and better and having virtue love. I love you if you smell nice. I will love you if you smell nice, honey. I'll love you, this is usually the woman saying to the man, if you stop farting and stop drinking beer. I will love you if you tell me lots of times that you love me too. There has to be a reciprocation on this thing, you know. There's always an if to personal love is conditional. If this ever happened, I have a hard time with this. I love you if you let me have a house full of cats. You see, that would be a really tough test for my impersonal love right there. But Debbie's never asked for that, a house full of cats. We've had a house full of dogs. But then dogs are going to be in heaven. Cats are... I've seen the movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven. It's there. So impersonal love is unconditional. Personal love is conditional. Impersonal love... impersonal love is a very important concept which you should highly value. For without impersonal love, you will never have any good human relationship. You will change friends, partners in romance, spouses in marriage, simply because you have no basis for perpetuating any of those relationships apart from virtue. There is no virtue love in the cosmic system. There is no virtue or honor in the cosmic system. Virtue love is only developed by living the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The cosmic system and the lust patterns of arrogance and the sin nature covets wealth without honor, success without integrity, promotion without ability, approbation without achievement, love without virtue, sex without happiness. If you want any of these things, you are not a candidate for impersonal love. Impersonal love is a problem-solving device in human relationships because virtue, honor, integrity resides in the subject, the one doing the loving. Impersonal love is as great in your relationships to other people as occupation with Christ is in your relationship to God. Impersonal love loves those who are known or unknown, friends or enemies, attractive or repulsive, honorable or dishonorable, loving or hateful, appreciative or antagonistic, rich or poor. Impersonal love is absolutely necessary if you want to get a hearing when you go to the Supreme Court of Heaven. Impersonal love is unconditional because of the grace orientation from metabolized doctrine in the heart. And therefore, impersonal love perpetuates its own honor, its own integrity, its own virtue in every stage of your spiritual life. Impersonal love's unconditional virtue to all is without retaliation, without revenge, prejudice, discrimination, arrogance, hatred, self-righteousness, self-pity, jealousy, vindictiveness, slander, gossip, maligning, or judging. So impersonal love is an unconditional love for all. Personal love is conditional. All right, there's a principle. I want to cover this principle before we move on. Principle. For personal love in human relationships to be successful, it must be inside the integrity envelope of virtue love. For personal love and human relationships to be successful, it must be inside the integrity envelope of virtue love. All right, let's amplify that principle. One, personal love minus the virtue of impersonal love for all is the weakest and most unstable status quo in life. And of course, this is human personal love. Human personal love minus the virtue of impersonal love for all is the weakest and most unstable status quo in life. You know, it used to be when I first came here, The divorce rate was mostly unbelievers. Most of the divorces, and of course I've been here 44 years, but most of the divorces were unbelievers. Now, the believers have just as many divorces as the unbelievers, and more, moving into the more category. Two, personal love outside the integrity envelope of impersonal love complicates life by combining the problems of two people, which results in intensified stress. Personal love outside the integrity envelope of impersonal love complicates life by combining the problems of two people, which results in intensified stress. Three, there is no inherent virtue in personal love. For personal love to be successful, personal love is virtue dependent. There is no inherent virtue in personal love. There's no inherent honor in virtue love, in personal love. Personal love is virtue dependent. Four, personal love directed toward the human race must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Personal love directed toward the human race must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all, for its capacity, its success, and happiness in human relationships. So personal love directed toward the human race must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all, for its capacity, success, and happiness in human relationships. Five, since personal love in mankind has no inherent or built-in virtue, it becomes vulnerable to the tragic flaws of life. Since personal love in mankind has no inherent or built-in virtue, it becomes vulnerable to the tragic flaws of life. Six, personal love outside the integrity envelope of impersonal love, it results in jealousy, bitterness, hatred, self-pity, and revenge. Personal love outside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all results in jealousy, bitterness, hatred, self-pity, and revenge. Seven, personal love minus the integrity envelope of impersonal love makes life miserable for others as well as for yourself. Personal love minus the integrity envelope of impersonal love makes life miserable for others as well as for yourself. Eight, personal love with no integrity envelope of impersonal love is very, very weak. If you have personality conflicts, you are weak. Legalism and self-righteousness leads to moral degeneracy. You are weak. Unfaithfulness leads to immoral degeneracy. You are weak. Personal love with no integrity envelope of impersonal love is very, very weak. Nine, personal love without the integrity envelope of impersonal love can't deal with lack of reciprocation. Personal love without the integrity envelope of impersonal love can't deal with lack of reciprocation. Ten, personal love without the integrity envelope of impersonal love can't deal with the lack of mental, physical, or spiritual rapport. Personal love without the integrity envelope of impersonal love cannot deal with the lack of mental, physical, and spiritual rapport. Eleven, personal love without the integrity envelope of impersonal love cannot deal with the loss of attractiveness on which a relationship was originally based. Personal love without the integrity envelope of impersonal love can't deal with the loss of attractiveness on which a relationship was originally based. You see, people change in marriage. Now, I'm an exception. I'm just as good looking as I always was. I'm just kidding. I thought you'd all laugh at that one. 12. I laughed. I thought it was funny. Impersonal love perpetuates its virtue, honor, and integrity. Impersonal love perpetuates its virtue, honor, and integrity without reaction or frustration, without retaliation or revenge, without prejudice or discrimination, without arrogance or hatred, without self-righteousness or self-pity, without jealousy or implacability, without vindictiveness or slander, without gossip or maligning or judging. So impersonal love perpetuates its virtue, honor, and integrity without reaction or frustration, without retaliation or revenge, without prejudice or discrimination, without arrogance or hatred, without self-righteousness or self-pity, without jealousy or implacability, without vindictiveness or slander, without gossip or maligning or judging. And here's another very important principle. Impersonal love for all never seeks revenge. Impersonal love for all never seeks revenge. Turn over first of all to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Impersonal love for all never seeks revenge. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge, or do not bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now that's the Old Testament. Now turn to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, start at verse 9, love. Now the word love is agape. Agape is the Greek word for virtue love. Impersonal love for all. So this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. It must be unhypocritical. Hate what is evil, cling to what is intrinsically good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This is impersonal love for the royal family of God, all believers, the good, bad, or ugly believers. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, impersonal love for the whole royal family of God. And then we have that impersonal love. What's the key to it? Honor. Honor. Virtue. Integrity. Honor one another above yourselves. That's impersonal love for all. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in affliction, suffering, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. That we're going to see this in 2 Corinthians when we get on down the road, and in 1 John as well. A very important part of impersonal love for all is sharing with God's people who are destitute, who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's the impersonal love for all. And it doesn't make any difference whether they're the good, bad, or the ugly. Bless those who persecute you. Oh, impersonal love for all. Do you bless those who persecute you? No, this is not blessing them. No, do you bless those who persecute you? That's impersonal love for all. I know what some of you do with people who persecute you, but it's not impersonal love for all. Bless those who persecute you. Then he adds, bless and do not curse. Impersonal love for all. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony. Impersonal love for all. Live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with all. Impersonal love for all. Do not be arrogant, but be willing to associate with people of low position. The poor, the destitute. That's impersonal love for all. Do not be conceited, arrogant. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. Reconciliation. Reconciliation is removal of barriers. That's impersonal love for all. Reconciliation with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. You will only do that if you have impersonal love for all. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. You'll only do that if you have impersonal love for all. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, with that which is intrinsically good. And that is virtue love, impersonal love for all, the royal family honor code. Well, this is what God has given to us. This is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. All right, that brings us to verse 9. And he's still going on with what he's been teaching in verses 5 through 8. For to this end also did I write. We have the postpositive conjunction gar with the conjunction chi. Gar is followed by chi, gar chi. Plus the preposition ace with the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun hutas, plus the aorist active indicative of the verb grapho. Now Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 151, tells us that when gar is followed by chi, as in our verse, gar chi, it's a Greek idiom, and it should be correctly translated for precisely. For precisely. And then Arnton Gingrich on page 228 tells us that the preposition ace, followed by the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtas, is correctly translated for this reason, for this purpose. So, for precisely this reason is what Paul is saying here. For precisely this reason, what he has just taught in verses 5 through 8. And then we have the verb grapho, which means to write. This is the writing of Scripture, specifically the writing of 2 Corinthians. This looks at the inspiration of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed, theopneustos, which involves inhale and exhale. The inhale is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who so directed the human writers of Scripture, so that without waiving their intelligence, their individuality, their personal feelings, literary style, or any other factor of human expression, the human writers received the accurate and exact message from God. The inhale, then, is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who communicates to the human author, in this case Paul, God's complete and coherent message to that generation and all future generations of history. The exhale is the divine message to man, the human writer, in this case the Apostle Paul, wrote down in his own language and within the framework of his own personality. The aorist tense is the constantive aorist, viewing the writing of 2 Corinthians in its entirety. The active voice, the Apostle Paul, performed the action of writing 2 Corinthians as the human author in the exhale of inspiration. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting Paul's writing of 2 Corinthians as a fact of history. For precisely this reason, I wrote 2 Corinthians. So that's the corrected translation. For precisely this reason, I wrote 2 Corinthians, that I might know the proof of you. This is hina plus the subjunctive of gnosko plus the accusative singular of dokime plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. Hina plus the subjunctive, when used after a demonstrative pronoun houtas, as in our verse, it means for this purpose or namely. Gnosko is the verb to know or to come to know. And then we have dokime. This is a very important word. Dokime. D-O-K-I-M-long-E. Dokime. Dokime comes from the verb dokimazo, which means to put to the test, to examine. To examine and to hopefully to approve. And this was the verb that was used for testing ore, to see if it had gold or had silver. So dokime means to put someone to the test, to know and approve someone's character. Paul is writing 2 Corinthians, putting the believers in Corinth to the test, to see if they will pass the incestuous Corinthian test. So, the personal pronoun sou is you, the believers in Corinth. And it means literally to know your character. It's an idiom for this purpose, namely to put you to the test. So the corrected translation, for precisely this reason, I wrote 2 Corinthians. Namely, to put you to the test whether you be obedient in all things. This is the conditional particle ae plus the present active indicative of ame plus the nominative plural of hupekus plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative plural neuter of pas. The conditional particle ae means if, to see whether, and then hupekus with the verb to be, hupekus with the verb to be. This is kind of a goofy word. H U P long E K O O S, hupekous, and then we have with it the to be verb ami, E I M I, and it means to see if you are obedient. To see if you are obedient, and then the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative plural neuter of poth. Ace plus the accusative of poth. E-I-S-P-A-S. And this means in all respects, in every way, in all things, in everything. For precisely this reason, I wrote 2 Corinthians, namely to put you to the test, to see if you are obedient in all things. For precisely this reason, I wrote 2 Corinthians, namely to put you to the test, to see if you are obedient in all things. All right? One, instead of coming to Corinth and teaching the believers face to face, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians from afar. Instead of coming to Corinth and teaching the believers face to face, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians from afar. Two, he did this to put the believers to the test. He did this to put the believers in Corinth to the test. Three, Paul wants to give them the opportunity to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, develop virtue love, and pass the incestuous believer test. Paul wants to give them the opportunity to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, develop virtue love, especially impersonal love for all, and pass the incestuous believer test. Four, Paul wants to give them the opportunity to treat this recovered incestuous believer with impersonal love, which includes grace, forgiveness, comfort, and virtue love. Verses 7 and 8. Paul wants to give them the opportunity to treat this recovered incestuous believer with impersonal love, grace, forgiveness, comfort, virtue, love. Verses 7 and 8. 5. Paul wants to give them the opportunity to apply the doctrine he has taught them. He wants to give them the opportunity to apply the Bible doctrine he has taught them. Six, Paul is testing them to see if they will be obedient in all things. He is testing them to see if they will be obedient in all things. This is a major test for these believers. Paul's handled it. Paul has virtue love. Paul has the motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father, which motivates his impersonal love for this believer. And it was the Apostle Paul who turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. But now he's recovered and God's forgiven him. And so Paul has forgiven him as well. And now it's just a matter, will the believers in Corinth forgive him? 7. Paul wants the believers in Corinth to become spiritually self-sustaining believers. He wants the believers in Corinth to become spiritually self-sustaining believers. Eight, Paul wants them to be dependent on the grace and power of God. He wants them to be dependent on the grace and power of God. He wants them to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, He wants them to have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. Then when that is there, well, they'll clear the incestuous believer hurdle. And this guy has gone through hell in his warning intensive and the dying discipline being administered by Satan, but he came to his senses. Came to his senses, rebounded. That's over. He's now in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. Hallelujah. That's fantastic. Now, there's a lot of believers that you maybe not incestuous, incest as their sin. There's a lot of believers that make a lot of bad decisions, get into interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred and crash and burn. There's getting to be more and more of those all the time. And you may know some of those believers that have crashed and burned. But every once in a while, one will come to his senses. Come to his senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, get out of the cosmic system, get back into the spiritual life, the filling of the Spirit, fellowship with God, and move on. And it's a test for you to apply impersonal love to that believer. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.